Okay, so we're continuing on with our study of Daf Yomi. We are on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph in Erevin. So we are currently debating about the accessibility of Erevin. Currently, we're actually on a little bit of a side point question of at what point are we allowed to rely on certain Sfeikot? At what point do you consider a suffocation doubt to be a case where you can rule leniently or not? And we were debating whether or not it comes down to the difference whether or not the law is derived or rabbanon. Is it biblical or rabbinic? As well as the last point we mentioned was that if there's two reasons for it to be lenient, then we will be lenient. But if there's only one reason to be lenient, then we will not be able to be lenient. So now we're continuing on with the question of what exactly is each person's opinion? When are we allowed to be megel and in which areas of halacha? So now the question of Kasha, the Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi, right? So yesterday we spoke about Rabbi Meir's opinion, but now we're with the question of Rabbi Yossi's opinion in regards to his being stringent in one case and leading in another case, within cases of doubt, cases of suffering. So what do you mean by Kasha, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi? Well, so basically the issue is he's being machmir in regards to Mikvaot, but he's being megel in regards to Eretz. So why is he differentiating where he's being Mekel and where he's being Machmir? Should you have the same thing for all cases of doubt? So what is it? Amar Huna Bachinana Shani Tuma Hoel Yeshla Ikar Minatora. So Huna Bachinana says, no, Tuma is different because Tuma is Midaraita. So obvious question. Shabbat not Midaraita. What do you mean? Shabbat is Midaraita too, right? That's written in the Torah also. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So rather, what are we talking about? We're talking about the case of not all of Shabbos, but the Erev we're talking about is an Erev Tchumen. And since Erev Tchumen is only Midrabanan, and so since Tchumen itself is only Midrabanan, that's why we're being more makeup by Erev. So, since again, this runs a little larger question of is Tchumen direct to Midrabanan? Again, that's subject to a large machloket, Rishonim. But we're currently operating within Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So he says, specifically says that it's derabanan, that for tchumen, right? For the amount you can walk out, that the limitation on how far you can walk outside of your home. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Chinana, we had that one. So another way to say vi b'deva is ha nidei ha derabe. You're right. So it does contradict each other. Two statements about one of Erevin and one of Toma about Safek Taval, whether or not he went in the mikvah correctly. So, but the difference is one is his opinion, and then the lenient one is the teacher's opinion. Takerami Diktani Amr Biosi Av Tomos Heid Mishum Chamisha Zakinim Mishasvek Eruv Kasher Shramina. So similarly, we have another statement of Rabbi Yossi, which sounds to get that the statement of Safek Eruv Kasher is actually his teacher's opinion on his own, as of Thomas testified, Rabbi Yossi said that Thomas testified that there were five elders who said that if you had a case of an error and doubt, that you rule it to be valid, and therefore we can conclude that that's the case. So Rabbi Amar, Hainu Tama Rabbi Yossi Hame Tama Chazkato Ve'ema Lo Tava. No, Rabbi says it's a different question. We're not talking about a question of Sfeikot here. It's a question of Chazaka. So similar to the way we've been discussing within Rabbi Meir's opinion. So the issue isn't whether or not what level of Sfeik is the right or the Rabbanon. The real question is what Chazakas do we have to go along with the Suffolk, meaning what was the status prior to all this happening, and case of Suffolk will rely on what his prior status was, his chazaka. So Yossi says, Hamein Tumal Chazkato, the Emo Tavel. So you put him back, since he was Tameh before, he remains Tameh, and therefore you say it's as if he didn't go to the mikvah. Adarab, Hamein Mikvah Chazkato, the Emo Lo Chasar. So what do you mean? Just like you could say you should leave him as being, he was Tameh, and now he's, so therefore now he should remain in the case of did he go to the mikvah correctly, or was the mikvah kosher? But no, there's another case of doubt, is that, well, most mikvahs are kosher. So, and this mikvah is probably somewhat kosher. So why are we saying that we're saying that now it's not kosher? We'll say this mikvah is kosher. Even though you didn't check, it's still kosher because, you know, the guy checked last week and it was fine. So we say, no, but mikvah shalom done. No, the thing is, this is a mikvah that nobody actually properly checked out. So therefore, you can't say that, oh, it really had the right amount of water. There's no problems with it because it might have had problems with it. We didn't check. So therefore, it has no prior chazakah of validity. The only chazakah we have is that of the person having been tamei prior. So, Tanya Ketzad Amar Rabbi Yose Safek Erev Kasher. So we have another brayta stating in what case does Rabbi Yose say that an Erev in doubt is Kasher? So, Erev Batruma Selek Mivod Yom Nitme Selek Michashecha Nitme. So first case where that would happen is if you're meeting an Erev and you made it out of Truma and you're not sure at what point the Truma became Tameh and therefore would be invalid to be used. Because now it's supposed to be burned and not meant to, and nobody can eat it at this point. Right, so the question is when you have fruit that was recently harvested, and you're not sure, did somebody separate out Truma and Masrot at the right time or not? So did they do it when it was still on Friday, or did they do it on Shabbos? So Zeh Safek Eruv Kasher. This is when we say that we're the case of Eruv, this is a Safek Eruv, an Eruv in doubt, but we still rule as Kasher. Right, because all these things we're talking about now, these are all things that are the question of at what time did the said event occur? We know that the event for sure occurred. But aval erev, the truma, safek tahora, safek tmeah. But if you were to have made an erev with truma that you're not sure whether or not it's tameh or tahor, v'chein peirot, safek nitaknu, safek lo nitaknu, ain't zeh safek erev kasher. But if the safek is something else, that basically you don't know whether or not what you did, whether these items themselves are kasher, that would be a different story, and we would not apply the case of doubt, where it is considered to be valid. So now we're going to question more within that statement. Now we have another statement for Biosi. So how does that work now? So Maishna Truma, Da Amar Ha'amed Truma Chaskato, V'ema Tahori, Perot Nami, Ha'amed Tevel Chaskato, V'ema Lo Nitaknu. So now it's saying, if you're talking about, we said before, the option was, everything's about Chazaka. Right, what it was before is what it'll be now. So then we have a problem because Truma, it was kosher before. The question is, did it become invalid? So, but on the other hand, when we're talking about the tevel, the unfixed fruits, that's not the case because they're not fixed right now. So if you want them to be fixed, then you have to fix them, and you haven't, and therefore the chazaka actually is that they should remain tevel if you're not sure if you fix them or not. So how do we spell this? Lo tema safek mibonyon nitaknu. Don't say that the case is where we're unsure if they had been fixed earlier in the day. El ema safek mibonyon nidme'u, safek mi shechashecha nidme'u. So instead of saying, have they been tevel and we'd fixed them to being chulin and truma and masro, rather we're saying is that you should say instead that it was definitely truma before. So one case, the first case is in the brayta should be the question, was the truma become tameh? And the other question is, did the truma become nidmu. So to explain that term, so basically that's when you have a case where truma falls back into basically you separate out your truma and then it fell back into the place you separated it from. So then in that case the whole thing becomes suffix truma. All right, that's what nidmu means, and therefore you have to basically sell it all to a kohen minus the proportion of which you think had been the that had been the Truma. And that way you could then in turn go and then buy it and then buy other food with it. But you have to be sure to give it all the coins, and maybe part of it was not. But again, it could, if there was a large enough ratio, then of 200 to 1, then you wouldn't have to worry about the Truma that fell in. But we're talking about that's not the ratio in this case, right? It's not in the area of it being batel. Rather, we're in the case where we simply don't, where you don't know. And now it's your question. Now, if we know that the truma that you separated out, you made sure before Shabbos to get all of your food ready, separating out. But then, the basket that had truma on it fell over and it all fell back into the main pile. Now you're stuck. So the question is, when did this happen? Because if this happened before Yom Tov, then you have a problem. So before the first Shabbos, you have a problem because then it wasn't valid because this needs to be fixed. So what happened? So Baruch Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Miravuna. So now we're going to try to figure out what the case is. So that's the way we can make the language of that branch a parallel. Now it works very nice. But now we still need to figure out what's going on with the case of Safek. We still haven't solved that. So, Baruch Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Miravuna. So now Shmuel Bar Yitzchak asks Miravuna, Hayula Fonoshti Garot Achat Shmeh Bachata Tmora V'amar Irvu Liba Tehora V'chol V'chom Shehi Ma. So now we're in another fun case of where you have two loaves in front of you that you're planning on using for making your Erev, one of which is Tameh, and therefore you would not be able to use because this is Truma Tameh, so you're not going to be able to use it for an Erev. The other one is Truma Tahor, where you would be able to use it for their Erev. And you said, I want my Erev to be from the Tahor loaf, whichever one it happens to be, because you don't remember which one was which. So you want to, is that, I'm making an Eruv on a Safek, because you don't know which one it is. But would that work or not? So, Tibayla Rabbi Meir, Tibayla Rabbi Yossi. So this could be asked according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yossi. So what do we mean it could be asked according to each of them? So the question is explained why this statement would be problematic to according to both. Tibayla Rabbi Meir, Ad Kalukam Rabbi Meir Hatam Deleka Tahora. It may be the case where Rabbi Meir said that he says there's mom when the Erev isn't good. That's the case where there's no Tahor food. But here there is a Tahor food, so maybe he'd say it'd be good. Haha Ika Tahora, because here there is a good Tahor food. Or Dilma, or maybe it's the other direction. A Filur Rabbi Yossi, right? Or maybe even a corner of Yossi, who said that it's kosher in the case of a tremendous Sufik Nitma'a. Lokamar alahatam im ita itaora yadala. Balaga halayadla. Maybe say there he says it works because there you knew whether or not you know which item you're referring to at the very least, even if you're not sure about is it Tahor or is it Tame, but you know it's this fruit. It's not I don't know which fruit it is. It's a question of is this thing Tahor or Tame? So it's a different question. So neither of them will necessarily answer our problem of what to do in our new case. So what do you do then? So Amar Lai, so Rahuna responds, Bainer Biosi, Bainer Meir, Bainas Uda, Rahuya, Bodyam, Valeka. No. So Rahuna says, no, the problem here is that it's even worse because according to Biosi and according to Meir, you need to have a meal that you could have eaten on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantiv, Valeka, and it's just not here. Because it was not before, there was no way for you to resolve it before, so you could have eaten either loaf. Now it's the same thing. You still can't eat either loaf, so you're still back. You're still back where you started, so therefore it's still a problem. Bami name Rav Nachman. So Rav asks another question for Rav Nachman. Okay, so these are more cases of like these what if in betweens, which way should it go? So we said the case where you have two loaves, we said, no good, because you can't have meal with that, so therefore that's not considered to be two loaves, one is tameh, we say no good, because you're not sure if it's going to be able to be eaten, because it can't be eaten on Erev Shabbat. That's why it's no good. So, and now we're talking about another case. So now, okay, we were talking about the one of the main differences being what is the status during twilight, during Benesh Mashot. So now that's the basis of the next question. Ba'amine Rav Amir, Rav Nachman Kikar Zu Hayom Chol Ulamacha Kodesh Va'amar Ivule V'zem Mahu. So he asked him, if you said that this loaf of bread today is, well, I'm allowed to eat it, right? It's not Hekdesh yet. And then you said, but tomorrow, i.e. on Shabbos, I want it to become Hekdesh. And then you said, I want to make my Erev with this loaf now. Mahu, can I use it? So Amar Lang, Erevo, Erev. And he says, yes, you can use it. So then we follow up. Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Chol. What if I say today it's Kodesh, but tomorrow it's not? But Amar Erev Lubazem Mahu. Amar Lang, Erevo, Erev. Maishra. So then, so what about the reverse case? Where today it's holy and tomorrow it's not. So can I use this for my Erev? And he says, and Rav said, no, you can't. So then Rav says, well, why not? Like, you know, if today it being allowed and tomorrow being forbidden is valid Erev, why is the reverse case not also valid Erev? So Amar Lei, Lechi Techol Alei Kura Demilcha. So Rav Nachman responded with a joke. Eat a core of salt over it. In other words, you know, chew on it for a while, and then, you know, let's see what you can figure out the answer. So now that I've given everybody sufficient time to chew it over, we're going to go straight to the answer. So, Hayom Chol Ulmachar Kodesh. Today it is Chol, and tomorrow it is Kodesh. It is Hekdesh. Misafka, Misveka Lo Nafta Lake Dusha. So then there is a doubt whether, right, we now have some amount of doubt that it's already considered to be kadosh, right, by the end of the beneficial period. Hayom kadosh l'machar chol, mispeka lo paka le yujadamina. Right, so the question during our period of twilight, which is the period we said is what matters for our Erev being able to go into effect. So the question is, where is it going from, right? So if we could say from chol into, from saying it is permitted to saying it is not going to be Hekdesh. So, right, so it's going from the permissive state to the forbidden state, and we're not sure did it go into effect during the time of Banish Mash out of twilight. But in the first case, we're going from the time when it's Asur or concerning Hekdesh to when it's going to be permitted, Chol. So then the question is, did the Kedusha leave or not? So there are two, so those are two different states of transition. So one state of transition is valid, and one is not valid. That's why the cases are different. Even though it sounds like it's the same thing, they're both, the twilight period is a transition case, but it's not the same because one's going from forbidden to allowed, and one's going from allowed to forbidden. And that's why we and allowed to forbidden, we allow the Erev, but from forbidden to allowed, we will not. Okay, so now we've got now a little bit different case. So Tanahata, we learned in Mishnah. Login Tvul Yom Shemil U Minachavi Shalmaaser Tevo. So if one filled a flask that was immersed during the day from a barrel that was Tevo, the Amah Rezet Truma Maaser Lechatesha Tarav Kaimi. So if somebody is a So normally here, so let's do a little bit of background to explain what all these terms are. So there's tul yom is normally when something is tamei, so it requires whatever process it needs to become tahor. Sometimes that involves the water of the paraduma, sometimes it involves a korban, but always it also will involve going to you go to the mikvah or the item going to the mikvah, whether it be because you happen to be tame for whatever reason, or the item was tame, it needs to be tovel for some reason. You need to be tovel then. And when they tovel, they only become tahor the nightfall after you have they have been totaled, and they have been immersed in a mikvah. So that means if you had gone to the mikvah at night for the purposes of Tumah Vatahara, you will not become tahor all the way until the next night at nightfall, almost, you know, like, let's say, like, you know, 22 hours later, potentially. So, or even almost 24 hours later. So it could be a long time. So, right, so if, so in this, but in the interim time period, you're considered that item or the purse is considered the status of a tzvulion, a has been immersed that day, but is not yet fully ritually pure. So if you were to have separated out Trumot Monster with said improper flask. So, I mean, this flask, yeah, you take, so this flask is made out of, is probably made out of metal, because either metal or wood, because those are things that have potential to be toveled and then become, they could become tame and therefore become untame, as opposed to if it had been made out of clay. Clay earthenware vessels cannot become, once they become impure, they're always impure, you have to shatter them. Or as opposed to if they're made out of stone, or made out of dung, then they actually could never receive impurity. So we're talking about that's made out of one of those two things. And then we say that you make a conditional thing. So if you say that I'm separating up truma in this container, but it will only go into effect after dark. Okay, so let's read through that. So now let's read through that in the Gemara. Lugging, right? So that's lugging is a flask, as well as being, you know, you recognize the word lobe from measurement. So it means both a flask and the measurement that is flask worth. A little confusing, but that's just how it is. Or if it helps you, you could see the word flogging and read it as a flagon, which, you know, if you like drinking beer, might sound familiar. But anyways, So, lagin, tvulyom, shemilu, minachavit, shalmaser, tevel. So if you'd done it with a, so separated out using this kli that is currently in this tvulyom status of not yet tahor, but it will become tahor with nightfall. But amar ha-reiz that trumat maser l'kishetesha. But you say that it will become trumat maser. It will become the item that's that'll become one tenth. That'll become truma as well as truma maaser later. Once it gets dark, dvaro kamin. We say that what you said works. So that means that eventually it will become. So even though currently it's not fully pure, but we say that. But since the truma would only become problematic if it would have been touched it when it's tamei. So we would say that actually in this case, because you said it's not truma yet, it's not a problem because it won't go into effect until after dark. But if you'd said, "I want my Erev to be done with this," it didn't work. It wouldn't work. So Amar Rabba, now Rabba has a question. Zodo merit sof hayom kona Erev. The isav gadatif tzvias yom kona Erev. Im Amar Erevli bazeh amaylo Amar klom. So now we've got the issue being that it seems to be two different things. One for the onset of Tumah seems to be different versus that of the Erev. And seemingly for Erev specifically, the end of the day is Kona, when we know for sure that he is, when the item is Tahor, which is why we would say that if it was the beginning, right, you must say at the end of the day is works and what matters for the Eruv. Jesus said, "Do you let Yom Kona Eruv?" You thought the beginning of the day is what creates an Eruv. Imam or Eruv Lebaze Amay Lo Amar Klo. Right? So the question is, are we talking about the what makes the flask? So this flask, why is it no good? So if you say that it's based on the last day of the day, as opposed to the first moment of the night, then currently this flask is no good, but at night it'll be okay. So therefore you must say that the Erev goes back to the very last moment of the day, not at the first moment of the night.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What is the reason why the Erev is no good? Is it because the produce is Tumah?
the protos is it's not time, but it's not yet separated. Currently, the protos has the status of tevel until you properly separated it out.
Right. Okay.
So isn't you had a you know, if it had gone into effect already here, if you had set it up that way that your slow timed separation happened earlier, you'd have the separate issue of now you have too much maya, which would also be a problem.
Okay.
So the setup of the case was that way theoretically that happened both at the same time. But the problem is that we're dealing with different time frames. Right, so that was truma. You don't mean the first part of the evening of Benesh Masho, you mean the end of Benesh Masho. Whereas for the Erev, what matters is the beginning of the Benesh Masho period. Clear, I hope? All right, great. Okay, I know it's very confusing. This is what happens when we get to cases of suffek, of doubt, and also of doubt of doubtful time periods. So there's a lot of doubts, so if you're confused, it's okay, but I'll try and be clear. If anybody has any questions, please ask. Okay, so now we'll get information in just a moment, so hopefully that will make it a little bit easier. Okay, so Amar Rav Papa, Afilu Tema Tchilat Hayom Kone Eruv. Even if you want to say that what's Kone on the Erev on Shabbos is the beginning of the day, Inan Suda Haruim Mujon Vileka. So we're not getting the question of what's the status during the interperiod of that's not the real question here, right? So Rav Papa has a different answer from what Rav had been saying, from what Ravon had been stating. Rather, the other option is, it goes into effect on Shabbos, but what's the determinant? The determinant is, yes, it only goes into effect on Shabbos, once the moment Shabbos itself starts, but it has to have been able and been fit to be eaten prior. And this is not would not have been fit to be eaten prior. That's the problem. Okay. So now we're going to the Mishnah. We're getting to doing more conditional things. But now the condition isn't based on Safek. It's simply based on a question of where am I going to be placing my Eruv Tchumen. Because normally, when you make your tchumen, you pick that the place of residence will be either where you place your food. But now we're coming to a case where the person is setting up two different eruvs because he wants to make sure he gets to an event that's going to happen on Shabbos, but he's not sure where it's going to be. So let's dive into the Mishnah. It also is informative about what are reasons why you should be making setting up an eruv tchumen. Right, these are reasons why you set it up, because you have all these levels here are reasons that they think would be likely for you to set up an Eruv, as well as ones that they would recommend you doing so as well. So, Matna Adamal Eruvo. So if somebody's making a condition on his Eruv, and he says, Bo'omer, and he says, Imbo goy mina mizrach, Eruvi l'marav. Mina marav, Eruvi l'mizrach. So he says, if the non-Jews come from the east, I want my Eruv to the west. I can be as far south from them as possible. And if from the west, I want my Eruv to be in the east. Bimbao lakan ulakan. But if they come from both directions, east and the west, Malcolm Jared Zaylech, I want to go to every direction is farthest away from them. Pao lakan wolakan. Harani kivnei iri. But if they didn't come neither to the east or the west, I'm happy staying in town. So just to clarify about how this works. So this is not a case of where you're trying to run away in a case of death, because in that case, running away for a case of death, there is no limitation on how far you could run away. So as pointed out by Rashi and Mefarshim, more likely this is they're coming to try and collect their taxes from you more so than they're trying to kill you. Because if they were, and as far as you're like, wait, how are you running away from taxes? So a little bit about, taxes back in the day. Back in the day, they didn't used to have fair taxes like they have nowadays. No matter how unfair you think they are nowadays, they're much better than they used to be. Because the way that it used to be was they had a tax collector who says, you're responsible for getting X amount out of this town. Go do it. So which meant that it's entirely on the tax collector's shoulders how much they take from each individual person.
A quota system.
Yeah, sorry?
Like a quota system for how many tickets you have to issue.
Correct, right?
No way.
And And who do you give the tickets to? Who do you give the fines to? Taxpayers, whoever you want. So you wouldn't want to take taxes from your friends or from people who bribe you. Instead, you're going to want to take them to people who you don't like. Or in this case, happens to most of the time be the Jews. So that's why if they can't fine you, then they can't make you pay these taxes. And again, these aren't fair taxes as they are nowadays. Again, you should not run away from taxes. For more on that, there are many good there's many good reasons why you shouldn't run away from taxes.
This is real tax evading, isn't it?
Yeah, making you swim in the evasion, but this is more like this is more akin to the to the mafia guy trying to shake you down for money than it is actual taxes. Right, so that's what you're running away from, right? Not that they're gonna any real bodily harm, just like protecting your pocket. So that's one reason why you could set up this weird conditional error of multiple directions. So that's a situation that nobody would want to fall into. But here's another one that is a little more positive. So in Bachachan in Mizrach, Erevil Mizrach. So you hear that there's a rabbi coming, a wise man coming from coming to visit nearby, and you want to make sure you can go hear him, but you don't know where he's going to show up. So you say, if he comes, comes from the east, my ear is in the east because I want to go see him and hear him. Right? Mina Marav, he's from the west. My Erev is to the west. Let's say if there's two Chachamim that come this week, because, we're so blessed to have so many people to come teach us and speak to us. So then I want to be able to, I can obviously only pick one Erev. So I'll decide, depending on who the Chacham is, which one I'm going to go to. Lo lakan, I'm ready to be eri. But if no Chacham shows up, then I'll just stay here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ima Yachad Mehem Rabo, Olech Etzal Rabo, Ima Yushanem Rabotav, Lukom Sheyirza Yileh. Rabbi Yehuda says that if one of them was your Rav, like your primary, referring to your primary teacher, then you should go to the one who's your teacher. But if they're both your teachers, then you can go to either one. So, sounds very nice. Okay, so, Ki Atar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tani Ipcha, Kul Manita. Well, then we've got Rabbi Yitzchak, who teaches the entire thing inverted. So, rather, what does that mean? That if the non-Jews are coming from the east, you should put your Erev to the east. If you say to the east, the Chacham is coming from the west, then you should be have your Erev to the east. So then we're like, wait, what? Kasha agoyim agoyim, kasha achacham achacham. What do you mean? Then you defeated the whole purpose. You put your Erev in the wrong direction. You're trying to run away, yet you're putting your Erev the way that'll make you stop paying the taxes, the unfair collector. Or if you put the Erev in the wrong direction, you can't go see the Chacham. It's like, what's that helping you? So let's explain. Goyim agoyim lokasha habet or hagabana. So, okay, so we're going to explain differently now. So we're going to explain the Mishnah. So there's two types of goyim tax collectors, okay? There is the parhagbana, which is the one who's going to collect, unfairly because he simply got his quota in hand. The other one is referred to the lord of the town where, you do want to speak to him and, you're running away is going to be bad because he lives here and you can't really run away from the mayor. Like, that's not going to work. So, Chacham, Chacham Okasha, Bemota of Pirkei, Ha Bemikrei Shema. And as far as the difference of two types of Chachamim, it goes as follows. So one is the scholar who comes to give public lectures and you want to go and learn from him. Whereas the case of the second right's case is Bemikrei Shema, is where he's teaching, where it's not a lecturer for adults, it's rather somebody teaching people how to say Shema, teaching the young children how to pray. So then, that's not relevant for you. But again, assuming the case you're not trying to bring your child to go learn how to say Shema. So, therefore, one of them is there. So there's one case where you'd want to be there, and one where you wouldn't want to be there. So then, you wouldn't want to be being stuck in the first grade class when you were intending to go to the rabbi's drasha. So that's why, that's why the other one is the other bright to student with inverse, not because of trying to make things difficult for you, but actually because in this particular case, you would or wouldn't want to be there, as opposed to what the case was in Mishnah.
Right, but we're still saying, Rabbi, that you don't know which one is which at the onset of Shabbos.
Correct.
Or which one is going to be held in which place.
Correct. We're still allowing you to do conditional Erev Tchumen in this case. Right? These are all cases where we're allowed to do a conditional Erev Tchumen.
So how does this work? Sometime on Shabbos day, you hear which one is in which location, and that's how you know where to go? Like, yes. There's word of mouth?
There's word of mouth.
Okay.
Yeah. And then because it's Midrabbanan and it's something, we'll... Alternatively, because that was the way that they were part of, because Eru Tchumen is Rabbanan, so because, or Eru Tchumen is Rabbanan. So because that's part of the parcel of the way that when it was enacted, that this was part of it, that's why you're allowed to do it. So Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Imaya, Chad Mehen, Rabo, and if they're both your rabbi, then you can choose. So Rabbanan Zimne Dinei Chalei B'Chavrei Tvei Mirabe. And for certain scholars, they actually prefer to go to his friend over going to his over his teacher. Because sometimes somebody would learn more from their friends than they would from their teacher. So that's from from Pirkei Avot, how much you learn from your teacher versus from your friend, and how you learn more from your student than from your friend or from your teacher. So again, up to you, your decision, which one of those is considered to be you're picking from. But those are the opinions. So Amar Rav Leitla Minitin Minitani Ayo. So Rav says this Mishnah is incorrect because of that we just quoted about picking because the statement of Ayo. Tani Ayo, as Ayo stated. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Adam Mane Al Shnei Dvarim Kachad Ela Imkei Bachacham Mizrach Erevo LeMizrach VeBachacham LeMarav Erevo LeMarav VeValkan VeValkan Lo. So Ayo stated that, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda said, that's not possible. He says, because Rabbi Yehuda said you can't make a conditional Tanai with two conditions. You can only make it with one condition. So either you could say, if the Chacham comes to the east, I'm going to the east. If the Chacham comes from the west, I'm going to go to the west. But you can't say, I'm making an Erev in both directions, and I'll later choose. Which is answering Paul's question before. You can't actually make a multiple Erev in multiple directions type thing. This would be more a case of only one doubt. Of, am I going to the east, or am I staying where I am? And it's supposed to setting up two distinct Erevs, one to the east and one to the west. Right, so Mishnah Lakan, Lakan Lakan Delo, Ein Breira, Mizrach Lamar, Rav Nami, Ein Breira. So what's the issue of saying here into there? So then we're like, wait, but what's the difference between, here and there, where you say Ein Breira, where basically you can't retroactively pick, was it A or was it B, or to the east or the west? Also, you should say there's a problem of picking between the two, which is also a problem of Brera. Brera is basically a retroactive recognition. So also, it could be used as, for a Schrodinger's cat case. So, is it alive or is it dead? Right, that fun physics question for those who like physics or philosophy. So, right, so the question is, we say you can't do Brera. We can't retroactively say that it had been that from this moment. Like, that's not enough. You can't do that. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ukvar Bachacham. No, it's not really a case of Rera because the Chacham is already there. Just nobody told you yet, right? The Chacham definitely showed up before Shabbos somewhere. He's not in violation of of Tchumen. Like he came to Shabbos to either point A or point B. You just don't know yet because nobody stopped by to tell you. So that's the problem. So that's why your Erev actually already was It already was set, just you weren't aware of what you had, of what it had meant until this point. But as far as where your Erev was, it was already known. Adarabba, leitel de'ayo, le'manitim. So what do you mean? Why would you say what Rob said? Shouldn't you simply reject the statement for a different reason? Because ayo seemingly doesn't hold to our mission of being able to put it in two different locations. No, lo thalda. No, that's not what you should be thinking. Dahash matatin leiler b'Yehuda deleiler b'Yehuda. No, that's not the case, because we already know that Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, does not accept the principle of Brera, of retroactive designation, right? So how do we know that he doesn't hold this? So we learn it out from another Mishnah, Titnan, as it says in the Mishnah, Halokeh Yain Bin Akutim, Omer Shnei Lugim Shnei Lafrish, Harehen Truma, Asar Masarishon, Tisha Masvisheni, Umechel Vishota Miyad, Divrei Remeir. So this is a case for basically where you had bought wine from a Kutim. Kutim are Samaritans who generally don't do the produce properly. And this is also under the assumption that whatever the produce that they are selling you is actually produce that is Chayv and Truma and Masro. Ignoring the question of if they are not, the question is, are Kutim Jewish or not Jewish? So if they're not Jewish, then there's the separate question of if land is owned by non-Jews, are their fruits still considered to be required to be separated from Truma to Masrot? So those are a whole lot of questions that we're not dealing with. So we're going to say basically this Kuti, either A, he really is Jewish, or B, he got his produce from another from a Jew. And then, but the problem is now you have to separate the produce. He definitely did better. He did not separate his Truma to Masrot from it. So what do you do? You say that I'm going to separate at the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to, so 2 out of 100 is going to be, it's going to end up being Truma Gedola, right? That's the first Truma that you give. And then you're going to have, say, they're going to say 10 out of the total of 100 are going to be Maaser Rishon. And then now that you're down to 90 or 88, so we're going to say that Tisha Maaser Sheni, so the remaining 9/10 can be Maaser Sheni. And then Umechal, Lashot, Jemiyat. Then you can say that those are all going to be, that I'm going to separate later, are considered to be Truma, and then you can drink immediately. That's where Rabbi Meir is being, which seems to be saying that there is Brera, because you're not sure which of these, of the large barrel are going to be in the end, because just like one's the end of the barrel, like when you're like, it means that you'll make sure to leave, you know, 21. A log left at the end, and then that'll be it. But like, you don't know which it's going to be because you know the wine was around. So, all right. So therefore, that implies that you do have brera. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, they say no, you can't do that because you have to be clear in the beginning which part of the wine is going to be truma and maaser. None of this. Oh, I'll decide it later. Okay. So. Now let's review what have we covered today. Okay, we went through a lot of things, a lot of the cases in doubt, and as well as a lot of different conditional cases. So let's try and summarize and hopefully get a little bit of more understanding for ourselves. So we were questioning about the fact that Yossi seems to be talking about being ma'afmir in some cases and being naked on others. So the first we said one distinction is directive versus pirbanon. Then we said, no, he's not differentiating between direct and Rabbanon. It's a question of his statement versus that of his teacher, and that's how it comes off for Yossi's contradiction. Then we said it comes down to Chazaka, and that's what this is all about. Then we kept on discussing based on at what point is something considered to be allowed. Do we say it starts based on the time when the day is out, meaning at sunset, or does it go into effect at the end of Sefer Chovavim when Shabbos is definitely starting to be Deraita? And then we're discussing cases of if you conditionally set up that something's going by way of your word, it's saying something's going to become Kodesh at a certain point versus Chol. And we said the differentiating factor again was based on Chazaka, not based on how you rule about general about doubts. And then we got into the case of if you don't know which item is which, why that's a problem, as opposed to the case of Safek, which has introduced the issue of it has to be something that you have to be able to eat before Shabbos to be able to fit to be eaten, and the problem be eaten as a meal. And that we found it actually was another better rule for determining these cases of doubt, saying, you know, if this doubt, d'oraita d'rabbanan, and that determines whether you go chumrah or not. And we said, really, for Erev, the main point is that it worked out at the end. Either question is based on at what point does your Erev go into effect, whether it be in the beginning of the twilight in a special period, or at the end. That was one option. Is it based on, depending on the various conditions, which time does the condition go into effect? And then the other man said, no, it goes into your Erev goes into effect only when it's dark. But the real question is, even if you are of that opinion, you still say that it still needs to go into effect. Even though it's going into effect only when Shabbos starts, but it has to have been fit to be eaten on Erev Shabbos. And that's the main condition. Then we're talking about the case of where you're making a conditional Erev, whether to run away from the tax collectors or to make sure that you go and see the Chacham who's coming for Shabbos. And we were saying how you're allowed to make it El Tanai, but there's a question as far as the type of Tanai, whether you can do it in one direction versus two directions. And saying how then it seems to come down to a case of, do you believe in Brera? Are you allowed to do retroactive designation or not? If you say yes to Brera, you're allowed to do retroactive designation, then you can act, then there's no limit to the number of directions. But if you say that you can't do retroactive designation, then you have to say that the Chacham has already showed up, or that, and then therefore that's why you're not actually doing a retroactive designation, because he's already here. The only question is you just don't know yet. So it's like if you flipped a coin and you hit it under a cup, it's definitely one way or the other one, just you haven't looked at it yet. So it's not that it's not decided, it's just that you haven't actually gone to check. And that's why it'll be okay. And that's it for today. The amazing questions, feel free to ask. If anybody has, I hope everybody has a wonderful day.
All right, thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Rabbi? Yes. This is an assumption that the Chacham is coming from another town, and he's within his Tachumim?
Yes. So we're assuming that he's not violating anything, and it's just, as we'll get to later, sometimes either he's already arrived in the nearby town, or sometimes there's weird cases because of cities being smaller and larger, that sometimes the air, let's say, like the large city could kind of include that of the smaller city, even though the smaller city won't reach the large city. So that can happen here. So we're assuming that nobody's violating Shabbos. It's just a question of how will we work it out so that way you can get there.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Excellent question. We'll hopefully get to more of these fun cases when we get to the Rebbe tomorrow. But yeah, there's a lot of fun, interesting cases to talk.
Okay.
Have a good day. Let's go.
All right. Take care.